Good day, brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to the CMI School of Christ. And we are going to continue with our class, Ministry and the Appearing of Christ. And, excuse me, just like to mention a little bit from our previous class, we had looked at Abraham and Solomon, and we looked at Abraham and the inward obedience of the heart, and how that the inward obedience of the heart of one keeps all in purpose. Okay? And we looked at how Abraham continued in the appearing of the Lord, and in each way, in each manner that the Lord appeared, it basically did this. It removed, it took away, it displaced, it destroyed another part of Abraham's imagination and or illusion. And that's basically what it does in us. Because the appearing of the Lord is not a one-time thing. And I say this because it's true. And we can find it in Acts chapter 26, verse 16, where the Lord appears to Saul on the road to Tarsus. Damascus, that's it, Damascus. And he says, and I'm quoting from the James Murdoch's translation of Siri Peshitto. He says basically this: I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to constitute thee a minister and a witness of this. If you will be a minister, this is what you will minister. If you are to be a witness, this is what you will testify of. Okay? Because you have been an eyewitness of this. And the Lord says, thy seeing me, for the Lord hath appeared unto you, and thy seeing me hereafter. Okay? It is not a one-time thing. And I use the term the appearing of the Lord kind of in the same sense as the revelation of Christ, the revealing of Christ, something that God only can do through His Spirit. God the Father, it pleases God the Father to reveal His Son through the Spirit, okay, unto the soul. Now, for the soul that is not born again, then Christ's life must appear where there was no life before. Once Christ has appeared in the soul, once life has appeared, now the indwelling Christ must be revealed to the Father. The light of life must appear. Okay? If not, we continue with our diagram. We continue ignorant. Ignorant. And we all know that it is not good to be ignorant. Okay? And we've looked at that in verses. And I've thought about this, and I've continued on with our passages and such. And right now, for the past couple of classes and in this class also, we've been looking at the appearing of the Lord. We've been looking at the obedience of the heart as being obedient unto the voice and obedient unto the heavenly vision. Obedient unto the heavenly voice for the heart to turn to see the voice, and obedient unto the heavenly vision to continue in that appearing, to continue in that revealing, okay? So we've been looking at that, and I just had the thought that, well, what? What if those who are viewing or listening to these classes may say, well, what does this have to do with ministry at all? And, wow, if there is that thought, then we obviously have not seen the Lord. Ministry proceeds out from Christ. Ministry proceeds out from light. Remember Jesus said, the night cometh when no man can work. The work of God is found in the day. It is declared out from the day, out from the light. Okay? It's the same thing, even as I started off with the passage of Saul, was conversion to Paul. When the Lord appeared, Jesus said, I will constitute thee a minister. A minister. Okay, now you're going to be a minister. And you can say, well, great, all right, I'm a minister now. No, no, very specific. A minister and a witness. Very specific. Very specific. Very exclusive. Right? See, God does not have many ministries. God does not have many purposes. God does not have many, etc., etc. He's very exclusive. He says, of this, a minister and a witness of this, thy seeing me and thy seeing me hereafter. That is the ministry of God. There can be, and there are, tons of ministries. But even Paul himself said, I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 2, the very last verse. Paul said, we are not as many, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Right? We are not as many, but of God, in the sight of God, before the face of God, speak we in Christ. Out from Christ. Out from light. Out from the mind of Christ. Okay? This, thy seeing me, and thy seeing me hereafter. Jesus also said, and where I am, and you know, we've looked at this in previous classes, and you should know that if you've been keeping up with our classes. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. Okay? There shall also my servant be. So if we have an understanding of, well, I'm here and the Lord's over there and he helps me, then that's not the true servant of the Lord. Okay? A true servant of the Lord. Let me rephrase that. Of the Lord. Okay? All right. So it's very important that we continue in purpose, because the ministry of God is found in purpose. This, thy see me hereafter. The ministry of God is found in purpose. God has one purpose for the soul, the appearing of his Christ, the appearing of his Son, the appearing of his Messiah. Okay? There, he has no other purpose. And even for those who are born again, God has no other purpose, period. Everything, all these terms that we look at, even the term ministry, everything is automatic. Out from purpose, out from the appearing of Christ. Okay? Jesus himself, when he walked in the flesh, Jesus of Nazareth, he did many things, many miracles, many healings, many signs, many wonders, all these things going on. But he also said this, and think of it from our previous classes, the Father hath never left me, for I always do that which pleases him. The Father hath not left me. Why? Because the Son is continually before the face of his Father. The Son is completely and continually obedient unto his Father. Therefore, everything that is done or not done, everything that is said or not said, is in obedience, is in purpose, is in light. Remember, Jesus also said, I didn't heal that man. I'm kind of paraphrasing. You can search it out. The Father in me doeth the works. Okay, not I, but the Father in me. Beautiful, the relationship of one. Here it is with our diagram. Not I, but the Father in me. And then he would say things like, believest not thou that I in the Father and the Father in me? Okay, and we, as born-again believers, as those who have been born from above, born from the Spirit of Christ, born again, have been brought into that very same exact relationship. And Jesus himself says, in that day, at that day, you will know I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. But till the day dawns in our heart, as Peter said, you do well as to take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Until the day dawn, arise in our hearts. Till the day dawn in our hearts, till the day star arises in our hearts, till in our hearts we respond to the Lord and are obedient unto the voice and turn and see the voice. And the glorious declaration, let there be light. Till that time, we continue in ignorance. But out from that obedience, out from our hearts turning unto the Lord, out from the day, we have the same exact declaration that Jesus had. It is not I, but Christ liveth in me. Why? Because it's not my mind, it is now the mind of Christ. And then you can say the same, it's the same. And it's not trying to be like Jesus, it's just automatic out from the relationship that we are partaking of. Okay? Out from the relationship. Now it's, I do not do these things according to my own mind, according to my own will, but according to the mind and the will of another. Christ. It is not I, but Christ in all that I say and all that I do. Do you see the difference? There's a very big difference. So, let's go ahead and continue on with our passages here. We've looked at Moses for as one example. We've looked at Abraham just a little bit and how that, as long as he continued in purpose, he was a minister unto the Lord and a minister unto his family, unto his household, because then we found that Isaac continued in the appearing of the Lord. Then we found that Jacob continued in the appearing of the Lord. And this was not a foreign concept to them because their father, Abraham, continued in the appearing of the Lord. That's why. And let me see if I can read it from my notes. Yeah. The inward obedience of the heart keeps all in purpose. Okay? Keeps all in purpose. Okay, so let's continue with our class for today. And I have as a title, Joshua and the Walls of Jericho. And we may not get to the walls of Jericho today, but we will cover Joshua. And here's another example, Joshua. Now I just thought of the verse that I did not look up. Well, there you go. But the passage that we're looking at is Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. Here's verse 13, okay? And this is right before they go and conquer Jericho, basically. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho. Now, in previous classes, we saw how there was a generation that was disobedient. They would not go in and take possession of the land. They were disobedient outwardly because they were disobedient inwardly. Remember, they withdrew themselves. They stood afar off and they said, no, you, Moses, you go. We will no longer hear the voice, nor see his image, nor see him out of the midst of the fire, nor see his greatness. That was it. They were disobedient in their hearts, so they could not fulfill outward obedience regardless. Okay? So that's the situation. Now, of that time, now we have another generation that came afterwards. All right? And this is the generation. Here's now with Joshua. And now they are going to continue where one generation left off and was disobedient. Now there is another generation that is obedient in heart, and therefore going to fulfill outward obedience. Okay? All right. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, continuing in purpose. continuing in purpose. Here's Joshua. He is continuing in purpose. Right? Because remember, it was not just about Israel coming out of Egypt. Right? No. The purpose was not coming out of Egypt. The purpose was taking possession of what is rightfully given of God. See, they were, in the Old Testament, they were to be a testimony of Christ. Christ not only came in the flesh and was crucified and was buried and raised again. No, he came to take possession of what is given exclusively unto him by the Father, the soul. Okay? So here we go. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho. He's continuing in purpose. Okay? And I'll just stop right there and just say this. The verse that I didn't write down, and I know it's somewhere in one of our classes, previous classes, where it says that Moses went up and spoke to the Lord face to face, and basically right here, face to face with the Lord, and Joshua, his servant, was there, and then it said, and Moses came down, and then it said, but Joshua remained. Okay? Where did he remain? He remained right here before the face of the Lord. Okay? Joshua continues in purpose. Right? Going on. When Joshua was by Jericho, continues in purpose. Why? Because inward obedience is fulfilled. And we'll see that here in this passage. That's why he continues in outward obedience. Okay? Here we go. That he lifted up his eyes. Here's Joshua. He's continuing in purpose. And he lifted up his eyes. See, it's not the natural eyes that the Lord is concerned with. No, God doesn't look on the outward appearance. God doesn't look as man looks. God does not see as man sees. No. God looketh upon the heart. Joshua lifted up his eyes. I wrote down a passage here, and you know it. We've read the verse several times. It's Colossians chapter 3. Verses 1 through 4. If then you be risen with Christ, or since then, this is Paul speaking, since then, Paul is declaring reality now. Not reality someday, but reality now. In Christ. Since then you are risen with Christ. Since then, you are risen with Christ. Seek that which is above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Seek Christ. Okay? Set your affection, set your heart on that which is above, not on that which is on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Then shall you also appear with him in glory. Since then you are risen with Christ, set your affection, seek that which is above, from whence we look for the blessed appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Set not your affection on that which is on the earth, that which is below, that which is put away, that which is dead, that which is buried. That which is not your life. But set your affection upon him who is your life. Okay? So, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes. First thing he does, lifts up his eyes. The same thing you can say, his heart turns to the Lord. It's basically the same thing. And looked. He lifted up his eyes, he saw. Okay? I want to go ahead and read this passage in the Spanish Bible. While I won't read it in Spanish. Well, maybe I should. There may be some of you out there that understand Spanish. But I'll go ahead and read it in this. It's called the Reina Valera 1960 version. Yeah. Okay. And it says this, verse 13, chapter 5. Estando Josué cerca de Jericó, alzó sus ojos y vio un varón. For those of you who don't understand Spanish, it basically says this. Joshua, being near Jericho, lifted up his eyes and saw a man. That's the way they translate it. Joshua, being near Jericho, lifted up his eyes and saw a man. Beautiful reading. Just beautiful flow. The King James isn't as beautiful, and you can't quite, you know, it's not quite so easily spelled out in the King James. But I'll read it again. He lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, there stood a man over against him. There stood a man. He lifted up his eyes and he saw the man. He turned his heart. The veil was removed. Behold the man. Okay? Now, excuse me. I do want to say this, that when the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. The second our heart turns from the Lord, we sew the veil back up. Look at our diagram. When the heart turns to the Lord, this veil is removed. The second our heart turns from the Lord, we sew this veil back up again. We put the veil back up ourselves. I don't know if it's historically written or not, but I've heard. I'd have to check it out. You can check it out. I've heard that, remember when Jesus was crucified, it said the veil rent from top to bottom. The veil was rent. It was symbolized that the way into the holiest had been made. Okay. Well, I don't know if it's factual or if it's just tradition or what, but I've heard that the Jews went and sewed the veil back up. Regardless if it's actual fact or not, I don't know, or whether it's just tradition, I don't know, or folklore, I do not know. But I will say this, what I said just a moment ago. When the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. When the heart turns from the Lord unto anything else, it doesn't matter, then we in our hearts sew the veil back up again. We bring back the illusions. We bring back the imaginations. Okay? This, thy seeing me and thy seeing me hereafter, to continue in the appearing of the Lord. Okay? If you are not walking in light, you are walking in darkness, blind. It's very simple. It's one or the other. Christ or not Christ. Life or death. Light or darkness. One or the other. It's not two. It's not both. Okay. So that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him. And let's see. I went ahead and looked at that phrase, over against him. It's Strong's number 5048. I just had a couple of things to say. Strong's number 5048. In the Brown Driver Briggs Hebrew lexicon, it basically says this: in the sight of, before your face, beautiful, from before the eyes. He lifted up his eyes and he saw a man before his face, before his eyes. That's the order. Okay? In the Vines Bible Dictionary, it says this: the word indicates that its object is immediately before something or someone. I love that word. Immediately is immediately before. So then, whenever the heart turns to the Lord and the veil is removed, immediately the Lord is there before our face, face to face. Immediately. I love it. I'll keep on reading. And when Joshua was by Jericho, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, the first thing he does, he lifts up his eyes. He turns his heart to the Lord. The second thing, he looked. He sees the man. Okay, yeah, we'll go on. And behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. Sword drawn, not in its sheath put away, no, but with his sword drawn in his hand. Okay. And Joshua went unto him. This is very important. Joshua continued in the appearing of the Lord. Okay? Why? Why do I say that? Because, as stated before, Joshua was of the group that came out from Egypt. The Lord appeared as the lamb slain. The Lord appeared as the door which they entered into. The Lord appeared as the death of all when one. Therefore, we thus judge that if one died for all died, brought death unto death. The Lord appeared as the burial where he brought death unto death and buried it out of the sight of the Father. Remember? The Son goes into the burial. Only the Son comes forth. All death is buried, never to be seen again. The Egyptians, that's what they represented. The abode of the dead. And then in type, now in resurrection, the Lord appeared as the manna. The Lord appeared as the rock. The Lord appeared as the rod of Aaron that budded. And the list goes on and on and on. Joshua was there. Okay, he was there. Oh, you love this term. He was there from the beginning. Okay, so Joshua is continuing in the appearing of the Lord. Let's see. And there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn. There stood a man before his face, face to face with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him. He is obedient unto the heavenly vision. He is obedient unto the voice. He is obedient unto the heavenly vision. Okay, he continues in the appearing of the Lord. Unlike in previous classes, the children of Israel, the first generation that came out, that were disobedient, that withdrew themselves, that stood afar off and said, "No, you, Moses, you go and draw near to the Lord." Right? Joshua was obedient. Joshua went unto him versus standing afar off. He went. But what does this mean? The children of Israel said, "No, we will not hear any longer the voice of the Lord, lest we, our illusion, our imagination, die. For our God is a consuming fire. If we continue any longer before the face of the Lord, we shall die. Our illusion of ourself, our imagination of ourself will die." They were not obedient, but Joshua is. Joshua went unto him and said unto him, now, as I was stating before in the previous classes, as we continue in purpose, as we continue in the period of the Lord, all of our imaginations, all of our illusions will be dealt with in light, will be dealt with in truth. Why? Because they, our illusions, our imaginations, are vain, they're vanity, they're not there. They exist in the vanity of our own hearts. They're there in the ignorance of our own hearts. See, none of that, none of this stuff in reality is in Christ. No, there's none of that in Christ. None of that. There's none of that. There is no veil in Christ. The veil is not upon him. He has no veil. The veil is done away in Christ. What is in reality found in the person of Christ, what is in reality found in Christ, must be done in reality. Must be done in our hearts, that we may experience that very same reality. What is true in God must be experienced as true in our own hearts. Why? Because it is so. I'm not sure if you guys understood that or not. What is a reality must be known to be so in our own hearts. And that is only done when the indwelling Christ is revealed to the Father. See, Paul made this statement in Galatians 2:20. He said, I am, not I was, not I will be. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, the vessel lives, the vessel's here. But yet not I, the life of the vessel, but Christ liveth in me. The reality that had been established in the heavens was now established in the heart of Paul. The reality that is established in the heavens now must be established in our hearts in the face of Jesus Christ. Nowhere else. That's where it's established, okay? So, as we continue, there will be bits and pieces and bits and pieces of our illusions and imaginations that will, one by one, come face to face with reality. And in His face, be consumed in the, listen to this, beautiful, in beautifully put, in the brightness of His coming. The darkness is displaced by the light. Immediately. You walk into a dark room, you turn the light switch on, immediately light fills the room. Darkness has been displaced. Immediately. I love it. I love it. Okay. So this thy seeing me and thy seeing me hereafter. Jesus didn't say this that you've seen me today and someday you're going to see me again. No. A continual, perpetual revealing, appearing of Christ. This thy seeing me and thy seeing me hereafter. Perpetual, continuing, ongoing. Okay? With the same exact effect in our heart. It's not I, but Christ. Okay? So here's the passage again. Let's see, where were we? And Joshua went unto him and said, here's Joshua, and said unto him, Joshua comes, draws near unto him, and says unto him, okay, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Basically saying, are you with me versus I am with you? Do you see the difference? Here with our diagram again. Are you with me? Instead of saying, that's what Joshua said, instead of saying, I am with you. I have some beautiful comments that I'll read in just a second concerning this whole passage. Art thou for us or for our adversaries? See, I'll read this passage that I have here. It's from a previous class. It's Numbers 14. Verse 42. This is Moses speaking to the children of Israel, to the generation that was disobedient. in their hearts, okay? This is what Moses said. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. I had that as a reference right there. Are you for us or for our enemies? As though the Lord would align Himself with what we are doing, versus us aligning ourselves with the Lord Himself and His purpose. Okay? He goes on. Verse 14. I do have a comment, and I have no idea where I put this comment. Ah, that's one part of it. Yeah. Let me go read again this little passage, because I kind of looked over it, but it'll make more sense here. Back to verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes, first thing, and then, second thing, he looked, and behold, he saw there stood a man over against him. Okay? Here's the comment that I was looking for. It's actually on the back of the page. A man over against him before his face. The mind of Christ versus the carnal mind. We cannot, listen, we cannot bring our carnalities into Christ. We cannot bring our carnalities here. That is, our vain imaginations, our illusions. Why? Because in reality, they are not there. We bring them there in the vanity, in the ignorance of our heart. But what is true in reality must be made true, must be known as true in our hearts. Okay? So back to our passage again. Art thou for us or for our adversaries? That's a question that comes out of the carnal mind, out of the natural mind of man, out of the carnal, religious, natural mind. Why? Because who is in view? What is the object in view? Man is, I am. Are you for us? Or are you for, art thou for us? Or for our adversaries? Are you for us? Or are you for our enemies? I am the one in view. Brother, sister, right here, so long as the veil remains upon our heart, I am the one in view. You understand that? Till the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Beautiful passage continues on. Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And also this, we have many questions that we present before the Lord. Many questions. Many questions that are of the carnal mind. This is good questions. This is a good question Joshua has. And yes, our questions are good questions. I was talking to my wife, and she said that she did a children's church lesson on this passage a little bit, and she gave a test to the kids, and she had multiple choice answers, and I know I'm going to say this wrong, but she said something like this. One of the questions was 2 + 3 equals, and then she had A, an orange. B, air. C, a word. Do you see how outrageous that is? The question and the response are light years apart. The Lord may or may not answer our carnal questions. I don't know. It's just a different realm. You ask certain things in darkness that you would... Listen, we ask certain things in darkness that we would never ask in light. There's no reason to ask them when light is present. I love this. Art thou for us or for our adversaries? Verse 14. And he said no. He did not even answer his question. Are you for us or are you for our adversaries? No. 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 It goes on. But, I like that. Theophilus Sparks uses the phrase "not but" a lot. Not but. You find it in Galatians 2:20. Not I, but Christ. Not but. Are you for me or for our? Not. But. I love that. You find it here too. All right. But as captain of the Lord of hosts, captain of the host of the Lord, excuse me, am I now come? No. But as captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? And I'll say this. As we continue in purpose, the appearing of Christ, the Lord, we will come to where the Lord appears as ultimate supreme head. Because at this point in time, Joshua was the leader of Israel. But as we continue in our hearts, in purpose, in the appearing of Christ, the Lord Himself will appear as ultimate supreme head, even as He appears now unto Joshua. His purpose, His mind governing everything. The government of the Lord being established in our hearts as seeing Him who is the ultimate supreme head. Okay? The supreme governing authority. As we continue in the appearing of Christ, as we continue in purpose, we will come to where we see the Lord Himself as the supreme governing authority. Not us. Not I, but Christ. Okay? But as captain of the Lord of hosts, of the host of the Lord, am I now come? Had a couple more comments on that. Am I now at this time come? See, the Lord very well could have said this. When you were in Egypt, I am come as thy deliverer. When you were in Egypt, I am come as the Lamb. When you were in Egypt, I am come as the blood. When you were in Egypt, I am come as the door. And I am come as the burial. I am come as thy deliverer. I am come as thy resurrection. Here, but as captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come. This, thy seeing me, and thy seeing me hereafter. Now, in this appearing, I am come. I have appeared as captain of the host of the Lord. As supreme governing authority. It's beautiful. There's other passages. This passage right here, it's Exodus chapter 3. Let's see. Yeah. Verse 7 through 8. Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 through 8. And the Lord said, this is the Lord speaking to Moses, after Moses turned to see this great sight. Okay, here we go. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. This is before the Lord sent Moses to deliver his people. And have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Verse 8. and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and goes on. But I am come down to deliver them. I am come as deliverer. Okay? I am come as deliverer to bring to the cross. Okay, now, listen to this. This is John chapter 9. This is Jesus declaring reality. Verse 39. And Jesus said, for judgment, I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. For judgment I am come into this world. I am come as a judgment. Okay, next verse, John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am come that they might have life and have that life more abundantly. I am come. Beautiful. And another verse. We could have, there's several more verses. These are just some of the ones that I picked, that I picked up. John chapter 12, verse 46. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. I am come a light. It's the coming of the Lord. It's the appearing of Christ. But who hath continued in his appearing? Who hath continued in his coming? That's the question. Here, back with Joshua. Joshua has continued. And therefore, as captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come. In this appearing, I am come as captain of the host of the Lord. In this appearing, I am come as supreme governing authority. Wow. What that will do in our hearts. What light of truth, of the truth, will do in our hearts. First, he lifted up his eyes. Then he looked and saw the man face to face. And next, and Joshua fell on his face. First, he lifted up his eyes. Then he saw face to face. Then he fell on his face. I know the verse you're thinking of because I'm thinking of it as well. John, I heard the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw. Seeing him, I fell as dead. This term right here, and Joshua fell on his face. The term fell is Strong's number 5307. It's the call stem. Q-A-L, call. It means this. To fall of violent death. To fall of violent death. Of violent death. And you can look at this. You can look at this violent in two ways. You can look at it. Really, it's only one way. You can look at it as like a tornado. Comes violently and destroys everything in its path. Nothing remains. Right? Consuming fire. Comes violently and consumes everything in its path. nothing remains. Utter, complete destruction. And now we're going to go back to this other example that brings it all together. The Lord spoke to Samuel to speak to Saul, "Go and utterly destroy Amalek and all that is there. Utterly destroy all." Saul could not, because he was not obedient in his heart. Here's Samuel. "What means this bleating of the sheep in my ears?" He goes and sees King Agag. "Holy mackerel, you left the king. You left the head. You left, listen to this, you left the governing authority here. King Agag, you left the governing authority. Why did you not utterly destroy?" So, and it says, so Samuel took a sword and hewed Agag. Violent death. "But as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come." And Joshua fell on his face, violent, a violent death, utterly destroyed. The authority, utterly destroyed. That only the supreme governing authority may remain, Christ. "And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and," I love this, listen to this, "and did worship before his face." And did worship, the true worship of God. Just remember how we saw it with Abraham before in our previous class? True worship is found before the face of the Lord when the veil, the illusion, the imagination is removed, is utterly destroyed. True worship is found only before the face of the Lord. I love that. "And Joshua fell a violent death on his face to the earth and did worship." Not I, but Christ. Not I, the governing authority, but Christ. In every appearing, not I, but Christ. Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, it goes on. "And said unto him," here we go, what is true in reality is now made true in his own heart. "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" Ha! Joshua is no longer Lord. "What saith my Lord unto his servant? I am now found the servant. I am not found the Lord. I am not found the governing authority here. I am found to be under thy authority, thy servant. What saith my Lord unto thy servant?" Don't you love that? David, speaking of Christ in the Psalms, says this: "The Lord said unto my Lord." This is David. I don't know on the timeline where he was, but if it was before he was king, then it didn't change while he was king. And if it was while he was king, then he completely, utterly confessed that which was in his heart the whole entire time. "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" I'm not the king here. Thou art the king. I am not the ruler of the Lord's army. Thou art the ruler of the Lord's army. I am not the supreme authority here. Thou art the supreme authority here. Same thing. Okay, I love that. "What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy." You have not brought your carnalities in here because they cannot be brought in here. Your heart has finally come to where you are in reality. And this place, this one, is holy. The same exact same thing he told to Moses in Exodus chapter 3. It was, let me see if I can find it real quick. It was before the other passages that we read in chapter 3, where the Lord said, I am come to deliver. The very exact same thing. Let's see if I can find it real quick. You read it? Yeah. Exodus chapter 3. Verse 5, and he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. I love it. The same thing. What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the verse 15, and the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Let none of this of thy natural walk be found here. For this place is holy. No natural here. No natural anything. No carnal anything. Not I, but Christ. It's beautifully put. Beautifully put. Okay. And Joshua did so. Amen. It was established in his heart. The supreme governing authority of the Lord was established in his heart. Was the Lord always the supreme governing authority? Yes. Now, but as captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? Now, the supreme governing authority, whom the Lord is established in the heart of Joshua. That's the difference. What is in reality must now be known so in our heart. Okay. Here's my comments over the whole passage right here. Over this whole Joshua chapter 5, verse 13 through 15, this whole passage that we've been reading. It's no longer our purpose, our imagination, our illusion of ourselves in serving the Lord, etc. It's no longer my imagination, my illusion of serving the Lord, etc., etc. It's no longer our purpose of ourselves in serving the Lord, etc., but to serve His purpose. Not my purpose, His purpose. Listen to this, and I want you to, if you take notes, write this down. Listen to the statement I wrote. God will never, never be in what we are doing. Remember the children of Israel and Moses, the generation that was disobedient? Go not up, for the Lord is not with thee. God will never be in what we are doing, in what we are about. We must be in what He is about. We must be found in His purpose. We must align ourselves with Him. Remember? The question is not, okay, are you for me or against me? I'm doing something. Remember, that's what Joshua said. I'm doing something here for the Lord. Are you with me or are you against me? Are you with us or are you against us? And what's the Lord's response? What kind of carnal question is this? No. No. But as captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? You may remain where you are, or you may align yourself with my purpose. You may continue in what you perceive as the purpose, or you may enter and continue in my purpose. You may continue governed by your mind, or you may now be governed by my mind. You may, if you desire, stand afar off and no longer continue obedient, or you may continue in obedience and continue in purpose. And in therefore, continue in purpose. It's set forth before us. God will never be in what we are doing. We must be in what He is about. We must be found in His purpose. Brother and sister, this is so important because God will not align Himself with our quote-unquote ministries, what we do for Him. We must align ourselves. We must submit, as Joshua did, unto His purpose, unto what He is about. Enter into His labor. Enter into His work. And therefore, just do the ministry of God. And therefore, be involved in, be participants in the ministry of God. The ministry of God, which is out from purpose. So, there you have it. The supreme governing authority, amen, to be governed by the Lord. I love it. I know my time's pretty much run out. I'm just thinking of that man who was his son who was sick, and he came, a centurion came and told Jesus, Lord, don't you love that? The centurion, a man of authority, comes and tells Jesus, Lord, my son is sick. And Jesus said, okay, show me where he is. I'll go to him. No, just speak thy word and he will be healed. For I am also a man under authority, and I say a word and my servant does. And what's he basically saying? Thou art Lord. I am thy servant. Thou art supreme governing authority. All else serves thee, whether they know it or not. Speak thy word, and it will obey. Now there were many who wouldn't obey, refused to obey, but the sicknesses, the diseases had no choice. So he spake the word, and his son was healed. And Jesus said, what great faith! What great faith! Because he was, in type, this centurion, continuing in purpose. All right, well, there you go. The supreme governing authority. So may the Lord continue to deal with our hearts, that we would continue in purpose, that we be found in purpose, that the ministry would be done in purpose, that it would be the ministry of God that we are a part of, and not the ministry of man. Amen? Amen. We'll see you in our next class. Lord bless you guys. Amen.